the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Your Eminence, very reverend and reverend clergy, brothers and sisters in Christ, Christ is in our midst. I'm battling a little cough here, so if that happens to manifest itself, forgive me in advance. There are close to 600 verses in the New Testament that deal with heaven and the kingdom of heaven. 600. And there are about 20, depending on the version that you use, that deal with hell. Now, that's quite a discrepancy. And I think it points us to the emphasis that Christ, that God himself, is trying to underscore. In today's epistle reading, the Apostle Paul is setting forth the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And it's the fruit that manifests itself in the life of a person who lives in the Spirit. And that's what I would like to focus on this evening. What does living in the Spirit have to do with the final judgment? And it has a lot to do with it. You know, our objective as Orthodox Christians certainly is not to get to heaven. I tell people in our catechism class that heaven is somewhat of a byproduct. You know, heaven takes care of itself. But that's not our objective. We're here to experience the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is experienced in the context of a life that's lived in Christ. And the fruit of the Spirit manifests itself in the life of an individual that has that kind of relationship with God. Jesus said the kingdom of God is within you. Jesus said the kingdom of God has come upon you. So if we cultivate the kingdom of God within us, if we experience healing in our nous in this life, then the last judgment for us will be a positive experience, as God intended it. But St. Paul makes a very important qualifying statement in Galatians in verse 24. And he says, those who are Christ's, those who truly live in the Spirit, have crucified the flesh with its passions. When I read the book Wounded by Love, I came across a story that was almost beyond my comprehension. You remember when Elder Porphyrios was assigned to the chapel in the hospital, and outside the chapel there was a man who made his living selling phonographs. You can imagine how long ago that was. But he was selling phonographs. And every day he was playing records, and he was playing the music loudly. And the liturgy, let's say, began at 8 in the morning every day. And Elder Porphyrios would try to serve a liturgy. This loud music would be out there. He was distracted, and he didn't know what to do. He went and talked to this man. He said, please. He said, I know you have to make your living selling these phonographs, but for an hour, you know, while we're doing liturgy in the chapel, could you please turn the volume down? And the guy goes, no, I will not turn it down. This is how I support my family. That's how it is. So Elder Porphyrios went back. He didn't argue with him. Now, how do you solve that problem? He was hearing the confession of a woman. And after he heard this confession, her son was in the back. And he was reading a book, and Elder Porphyrio said, what are you reading? He said, well, it's a physics book. He says, well, what are you reading specifically? He says, well, it's, you know, it's how you take a pebble and you throw it in a pond, and it begins to make ripples. And if you throw a larger stone in the very same spot, it'll make larger ripples. And those larger ripples will outpace the smaller ripples, will overtake them. And in this book, Little Porphyrio says it was at that moment that he realized what he had to do to overcome this distraction, this music that was taking place. He said, I have to outflank it by love. I can't argue with this person. And he said once he adopted that attitude, once he began to understand that he had to overcome this distraction that was affecting him in his ability to serve the liturgy. All of a sudden, he said, never again did it bother him. Never, that music never stopped playing. But never again did it affect him in his ability to serve. So I want to refine our examination of life in the Spirit a little bit this evening and talk about one particular battle that I don't think gets discussed very much. You know, it's talked about a lot, at least when I hear confession. People are always talking to me about being distracted. But the battle we fight is a battle with inattentiveness. Our thoughts dominate us. Our thoughts take us in all sorts of crazy directions, just like you experienced tonight in Vespers. Just like you've undoubtedly already experienced with me preaching tonight. Like you experienced in liturgy. Right? This is a huge battle for us. We are always distracted. And instead of focusing on prayer, focusing on the scriptures, focusing on the verses or the petitions that are being offered up to God, we're thinking about our Facebook page. We're thinking about texting somebody. I was shocked. I was in a women's meeting this morning. I mean, I'm a low-tech guy in a high-tech world, and I get that about myself. But Shannon was there, and somebody had already posted a picture of him on Facebook before he'd finished speaking. Now, that is remarkable to me, really. And I don't think that's necessarily bad. What I'm trying to tell you is that's the world in which we find ourselves. So here we are in a service like this. And people are thinking about Facebook. They're thinking about maybe what they're missing out on. They're thinking about texting. They're thinking about a flat note that the choir hits or a good note that the choir hits. You ever notice how music can bring you into worship or sort of move you away from worship? Siedna made an interesting point this morning. He talked about a reader's stand and how at the reader's stand it was prayerful. I began to think about that. Because I go to a lot of services. I go to different churches. You know, there's sometimes that reader's stand, it is so prayerful. And there are other times that is so distracting. Right? Choir, prayerful, distracting. Serving at the altar, prayerful, distracting. So it's a huge battle, really, for all of us. The room temperature. You know, the other night, some of us here, we have a monastery near us in Washington, and we had a five-hour vigil. 5 hours. Now, you talk about a challenge to distraction, a five-hour vigil. And then 2 days later, I was with Sayedna when they celebrated St. Paul's feast day. We didn't have a five-hour vigil, but we had services in 90-degree heat inside St. Paul. They don't have air conditioning, with about 90% humidity. Now, that's distracting. What I'm saying is the potential, you see, there is to think about, oh, my goodness, I'm hot, and I'm not focused on what's happening before me. So in chapter 5 of 2 Corinthians, St. Paul says that we're waging a war with this world. Okay, I think we all agree with that. But it's fascinating to me that he specifically identifies the battlefield of this war. He says it's our thoughts. That's the battlefield. Our thoughts. And then he lays out a strategy to overcome this battle, to win this battle. He says, we take every thought and make it obedient to Christ. Just like Elder Porphyrios did, you see, in that battle with that man playing the phonograph. But how does that work? I mean, how do we take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ? St. Philotheos of Sinai gives us a little bit of help. He says, smoke from wood that is kindling a fire, just at the beginning, it troubles the eyes. But then the fire gives them light and it gladdens them. He says, similarly, unceasing attentiveness is irksome. But when invoked in prayer, Jesus draws near, he illumines the heart, because remembrance of him confers on us spiritual enlightenment and the highest of all blessings. So he says something very important there. That in this battle, especially in this initial battle to control our thoughts and not be distracted, it is irksome. It bugs us. Because our noose is running wild. Because our thoughts have been in control for so long. They have enthroned themselves. And so for us, we think distraction is normal. Of course I'm distracted. Isn't everybody distracted? Well, whether or not everybody's distracted, does that make it right? St. Paul says no. No, he says we have to take every thought and make it captive to Christ. So this is a huge battle because our mind is jumping all over the place. So we're talking about being present. Present. Like right now. See, I'm here. But am I present? Well, I'm present because I'm concentrating on what I'm trying to say to you. But when I come here to Vespers, am I present? I mean, I may be physically present, but is my mind present? Is my heart present? Is my noose present? So we stand before icons at home, and we go through our rule of prayers, and priests hear my confession, and I hear their confession. We all hear lay people's confession. So what do we all know to be true? That all of us, and I'm sure Sadness struggles with this in his own prayer life, there are periods where we are distracted, even though we're going through the motions. We certainly have to put forth the effort to go through the motions, but there's something beyond that that we're talking about here. So St. Ignatius Brianchaninov tells us the path to God is prayer. But then he says we have to learn to pray correctly. You know, that's often quite offensive to people when they come to the Orthodox Church from expression of the Christian faith, be it Roman Catholicism or Protestantism. We say to people, quite honestly, you know, you really don't know how to pray. And they say, what do you mean I don't know how to pray? And we have to explain to them that there really is a way the fathers have handed down to us to pray. And that's what St. Ignatius says. We have to learn to pray correctly. So in keeping with the conference theme here, he reminds us that when we pray, every time we pray, we're standing before the judge and the sovereign master, and he says, upon whom our fate in time and eternity depends. So for him, praying correctly is a very serious thing. And then he gets to the core of the issue. He says, when preparing to offer prayer to God, cast away all earthly thoughts and cares. Do not be occupied with thoughts that come to you, no matter how important or brilliant or necessary those thoughts seem. Give what is God's to God, because he says it is impossible at once and at the same time to serve God and to occupy your thoughts with extraneous thoughts and cares. So the soul, the heart of prayer, he says, right, the essence of prayer, which is quite remarkable, is attentiveness. And he says, as a body without a soul is dead, he says, so prayer without attentiveness is dead. So now I think to myself, I wonder how many dead prayers I have offered to God. How often am I present but not really present? So we're trying to understand the Last Judgment and ourselves in relationship to this Last Judgment. And St. Ignatius says this is a critical dynamic to experiencing healing in this life. Without attentiveness, he says, our words are idle talk. He says that those who pray inattentively, now this really shocked me, those who pray inattentively have broken the third commandment. They have taken God's name in vain. So this is such a serious issue. I mean, I realized it was a problem. As I began to explore this, I realized this is paramount for us to experience healing in this life. This is no laughing matter. You know, Father, I'm kind of distracted in my prayer. No, it's not a joking matter, right? It's a serious matter. So my encouragement to you is to intensify your efforts to pray, right? To always say the Jesus Prayer. And when your mind, not if, but when your mind wanders, do everything you can to bring it back as quickly as possible. Do those things which Elder Paisio says attract the grace of God. Isn't that remarkable? That I can be in a Vespers service or a liturgy or in front of my icons at home, and I can be praying in such a way, I can be striving, battling to bring my mind back to this place of attentiveness, that I am like a magnet, that we're like magnets, that the grace of God is attracted to us, not because we're perfect, not because we're completely undistracted, but because we are putting forth the effort to try and achieve a certain degree of undistractedness, right, in our life. So we're trying to attract the grace of God, and it's through the grace of God that we're healed. So it's imperative for us as priests, as bishops, as lay people, to cultivate that kind of attentiveness in our prayer, making every thought captive and obedient to Christ.